Strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage. Presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
Murray's gonna score! Touchdown! Slammed to the ground by Buda Baker. Like a torpedo, he came flying into the backfield.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Right on the price. Right on the corner of the Santan 202 Freeway in Val Vista. SeatGeek, your ticket to great seats. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcast.
The Red Sea is rising up!
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
I'm ready. I'm 100% ready. I'm telling you I'm ready.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
So this work week started with the first of the month. If you look at the calendar, April 1st, otherwise known as April Fool's.
Don't do it, Paul.
Low-key, one of Ron Wolfley's favorite holidays.
Don't do it.
Could it be said, let it be said, that virtually every day between now and the NFL draft, and it is 3 weeks from tonight, if it's coming from NFL decision makers, if it's coming from NFL war rooms, it's going to be April Fool's all over again. Every single day until someone turns in their card. And you know what? Based on the historic accuracy of a lot of these mock drafts, it's April Fool's every single time one of these comes out. It's the Big Red Rage. Paul Calvisi here. Ron Wolfley there.
It's really incredible, Paulie. This time of year right now, believe nothing and believe no one. And it's only going to get worse as you lead up to the draft.
Believe this. We're going to have the defensive line coach of the Arizona Cardinals, Derek LeBlanc. He is going to be on momentarily. We're going to ask about everything on that Cardinals defense, everything that he saw at the scouting combine. Oh, he might have been one of those stars, on-camera stars. A lot of airtime for Coach LeBlanc. Very well viewed, the NFL combine. So,
and we'll also get to talk to him about a couple of big nasties the Arizona Cardinals signed in the offseason.
Free agency was kind to the Arizona Cardinals, was it not? Now, what's coming in the NFL draft? Because guess what? Some of these top prospects have been coming to the Cardinals. A lot of reported visits. Well, if there's the known and there's the unknown this time of year. For example, we think we know that this draft is loaded. Loaded like your Thanksgiving dinner plate, okay?
You don't have any, do you, Paul?
Loaded with receivers and offensive tackles. In fact, if you saw Daniel Jeremiah this week updated his top 50 draft prospects, I won't go through it name for name, but there are 12 receivers in his top 50 and 7 tackles in his top 23. And a lot of people think that quarterback's going to go 1 through 4. We'll get to that momentarily. And then receiver will go 5, 6, 7. Very interesting. I mean, do you have a gut feeling? Well, could it really be that epic, both in terms of quarterbacks, because they've never gone 1 through 4 in any draft ever in NFL history, and then receiver the next three?
Yeah, the first thing you got to do is you got to ask yourself, are you going to buy the New England Patriots waving the sign? Hey, everybody, look at us at number 3. You want? They need a quarterback, and I think because of that, they're going to listen to offers that are out there, but I think in the end, when it's all said and done, the New England Patriots are going to stay right where they are at number 3. That means 3 quarterbacks, I believe, are going to go 1, 2, 3 in the draft. And still, again, even though J.J. McCarthy is out there and it looks as though there could be a 4th team and 4 quarterbacks out there, to me, the draft starts with the Arizona Cardinals at number 4. That's where this is going to get interesting, Paul. They may trade out, as we all know, or maybe there's Marvin Harrison Jr. walking around. And I'd be okay with that, Paul.
Currently constructed, the Cardinals wide receiver position room consists of Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch, who signed his tender earlier this week.
Changed his number as well, and I like that. Number 4.
Zach Pascal, Chris Moore, a couple of older guys, right? Special teams dudes. Jeff Smith, Dan Chiesena, Andre Bocelli. So they're in need of wide receiver 1 and probably wide receiver 3. And so with that in mind, if you believe all the reports, the Cardinals here recently have used top 30 visits on Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, the big 3, along with some guys you might get on day 2 or 3, like Jacob Cowing from U of A, Brendan Rice, Xavier Worthy. But let's go back to the top of that list. Marvin Harrison Jr.
Paulie, let me just ask you this right now, philosophically, of course. How would you like to interview these wide receivers, the top three that you just mentioned right there? Would you want to start with Marvin Harrison Jr., or would you want to finish with Marvin Harrison Jr.? There is no right or wrong answer, I believe, Paulie.
I'd finish with Marvin Harrison Jr. I'd work in reverse order of what most people's war room boards are showing. So then once I found out all about Roma Dunze and Malik Nabers, I would use that to sort of test slash grill Marvin Harrison Jr. and then see if he truly is head and shoulder pads above those other two guys. Because the only thing that concerns me about Marvin Harrison Jr. at number four is everyone talks about what a generational talent he is. Yet there are a lot of personnel evaluators who are putting Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. in the same draft.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, Paulie. Never forget that right now. And for me, I'm with you on that. I'd want to talk to him last. I really would. The reason being, I want to give Malik Nabers, I want to give Roma Dunze every opportunity to come in, talk to us, and show us who you are, who they are. That's what I would want to do, Paulie, without seeing them through the prism of Marvin Harrison Jr. I would like to compare and contrast, just as you said, those two guys and their answers, Malik Nabers, of course, and Roma Dunze to Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't want to see them through the prism of Marvin Harrison Jr. Does that make sense,
Absolutely.
Paul?
Here's Jonathan Gannon when he was talking to the media recently at the NFL owners' meetings on when it comes to prospect meetings, what he hopes to learn.
If they love ball and if they're team guys first, it's awesome meeting with them, getting to start to know them as people before you really dive into the tape. But really looking for the what I call the price of admission if they fit that. So it's a really cool process for us.
They've also met with a bunch of cornerbacks. So, Wolf, if you had zoom out in the first round, I firmly believe the Cardinals are trading out of number four. I think another team will make Monty's mind up for him. They will make him an offer he can't refuse.
Paulie, I think you're right on this. And it's taken me a while to come around, but I think you're right on this.
There are just too many teams in need of that quarterback. At any one point during draft night, Monty Osford on hold could have the New York Giants, the Denver Broncos, the Minnesota Vikings, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yes.
And you could leverage all four against each other for that fourth and final franchise quarterback.
It's good to be Monty.
Yes. And so with that in mind, okay, they trade out. Do they go to six with the Giants and still get one of the big three receivers? Perhaps. But if they go down to the middle, you know, 11 through 13, then all of a sudden I think you're looking at edge or you're looking at corner. And to me, that's the sleeper position. Your number one corner is still to be determined, to be added. So whether it's a Terrion Arnold, a Quinion Mitchell, Terrion Arnold has met with the Cardinals in one of the top 30s. But then if you go to day two and three, there's some other names out there. Jarvis Brownlee Jr. out of Louisville, Andrew Phillips out of Kentucky, Nehemiah Pritchett from Auburn. This is JG's area of expertise, these corners.
Yeah, what about Kool-Aid McKinstry, Paulie? Where are you going to put him? Because to me, I love this kid. I love this kid because he's the second corner from Alabama.
Yep.
He's got an underdog mentality from what I'm told, right? He might not have as much ability or talent as Terrion Arnold, but to me, he's got this underdog build, this mentality that I love because a corner has got to be competitive above all else to me. And I think McKinstry is that guy.
And you know what? I think you could get a guy like him at 35, a top round two. I think that's feasible. That's realistic.
27 could be there at 27 as well.
Hit zoom out in the first round. I'd say if the Cardinals trade down and get an extra pick at least, if you come out of the first round with an edge, a corner, and a receiver.
Got to have a receiver though, Paulie. You have
to. In whatever order. You know, and there's a lot of mock drafts. Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU would be the target, somewhere between 11 and 13.
Brian Thomas Jr.
So there's that. But I just think by the time, and then with that, if you end up with three first-round picks and then you have number 35 at top round two, maybe that's where you go for the interior O-lineman. Don't say it, Wolf. Nobody wants an interior O-lineman out of Duke.
We already know.
We don't want
we
the
already
guy to
know.
Duke. No.
Boy, do you see him climbing up these mock drafts as well, Paulie?
Graham Barton.
Exactly right,
yeah.
Paul. I didn't say it.
Yeah,
you did.
I know. You badgered me into it just with a look. What about an edge player? I think that's the other low-key sort of sleeper in addition to corner. Because, Wolf, if you operate on supply and demand.
Yes.
plenty of tackles, plenty of receivers. I think a lot of teams, including the Cardinals, feel like we can wait till later to get either one of those two positions. We can't wait for an edge. We can't wait for a corner.
Yeah, I know, but for a true wide receiver one, I mean, do you look at a Brian Thomas Jr., whom you may be able to get in the high teens or maybe the low 20s? Maybe he's still there. Do you look at him as a wide receiver one? Listen, Kyler Murray needs options to throw the ball to. You want to help protect him? Find options he can throw the ball to.
You want to really enjoy the draft? Come on out to the Arizona Cardinals draft party. Yes, it'll be Thursday night, 3 weeks from now, April 25th, on the Great Lawn at State Farm Stadium. A great time, as always, had by all. You'll get everything you want, including all the coverage on the Jumbotrons. You get first interviews with all the decision makers, the draft picks. Go to azcardinals.com/draft party. Cardinals D-line coach Derek LeBlanc next on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
Pressure coming. He's in trouble, and down he goes. Justin Jones, 4.5 sacks on the season.
Look at this. Ball's on the ground. Ball's on the ground. Picked up by the Raiders. Do they have a touchdown with Nichols?
The Raiders pick it up and rumble into the end zone. Bilal Nichols.
So I get a call from Justin, and he like, hey, what's up, bro? Like, I just signed out there. I just signed to Arizona, too.
So I called him up, and I was like, hey, bro. I said, well, what's up, teammate? He said, teammate. He said, you going? I said, yeah, I'm going. He said, oh, yeah.
I'm in the school with my daughter, trying to keep it quiet because all the kids in there. I'm like, no way. Literally, as soon as I walked out the student, got in the parking lot, I screamed.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's almost like the football gods spoke that into existence. You kidding me? Two guys on that defensive front, same draft class. In fact, they shared a couple of lockers near each other during the Senior Bowl back in the day. Same age, both got the same 3-year contract. Boom, they're teammates. And we're guessing they're going to be plug and play from day one on this Cardinals defensive front. And there's nobody better to ask than the D-line coach who joins us now, Derek LeBlanc on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley. And coach, welcome to the Big Red Rage.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So, Coach, when you think of those two guys in particular, right, Justin Jones, of course, and Bilal Nichols, who's the guy that's going to line up over the center immediately? Who's the first guy that's lining up over the center?
Wolf's already got the X's and O's out here.
Well, look, I know they both love each other, but I think they're going to fight over who doesn't want to line up over the center between those two guys. But, you know, both those guys bring something to the room, man. They're both physical guys. They've both got plenty of experience. And it was kind of a joy that to see the energy when they came into the building,
yeah,
that they knew each other. They had a prior relationship. So I'm already looking forward to some sort of continuity between those two guys and the room. You know, obviously the room's gotten better with some personnel changes and some stuff like that. But, like, those two guys are going to bring some physicality to the room that we need.
And would you imagine that both those guys will play a 3 technique as well?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, listening to JG and talking to Nick, as you guys know, we harp on being multiple and adaptable. So those guys are going to have to play pretty much every position along the line of scrimmage because we're going to adjust to whatever we have to do to defend whoever we're defending. So to lock a guy in at 0 or 3 technique or 4 is kind of unfair to them because they have to be able to play those multiple positions.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of unfair how many injuries you suffered in the D-line room a year ago.
Yeah.
Cardinals defensive line coach Derek LeBlanc is our guest. So it, by design, Monty Osipor went out. He started adding bodies in free agency, proven guys, durable guys, knock on wood, guys with a track record of reliability. I mean, you go back to last year, you had week 1 and your starting lineup was Carlos Watkins and LJ Collier and Jonathan Ledbetter.
Yeah.
And by the time you're week 18, you had Roy Lopez and Phil Hoskins and Naquan Jones and Ben Stilley, a lot of guys that a lot of fans hadn't heard of before. So just tell us about last season and what it was like when you had new bodies seemingly every single week.
Well, I like to say that I did a lot of the work, but I mean, really, you know, hats off to all those guys that came in, the guys we started with. You know, LJ and Carlos were out week 2, right?
Yep.
I mean, 1 week after the other, same injury. And those guys did a really good job of developing. And credit to JG, too. When I interviewed with Coach Gannon, he was big on development of players, you know, fundamentally. And I think we did a good job of that in OTAs the first year. And I thought we were on a good track. Those guys were bought in, were doing things the right way. Then the kind of the bottom kind of fell out, so to speak. And then Monty went out and started bringing guys in. And really, again, hats off to Roy, Phil Hoskins, Ben Stilley, who came in and played quite a bit, right? You know, young rookie Dante Stills came in and played more snaps than he probably thought he'd ever play as a rookie. And they bought in, and they were very coachable, man. They all played for each other. So I'm fortunate as a coach to have that group of guys that were in for the team and not for themselves. So I enjoy coaching those guys.
What do you love about coaching the defensive line in particular? What is it that you love?
The physicality. I absolutely love it. I absolutely love the battles on the line of scrimmage. I love putting my hands on someone and defeating another man. I mean, there's a lot of juice there. There's just the things that you like. I can put my hands on someone and not get in trouble
That's exactly right.
I love that part of football that I hope we can keep in the game forever.
So how much of physicality is mentality? And that's almost rhetorical because I'm going to go to a couple of comments from Bilal Nichols and Justin Jones again, okay? And there's a lot of letters that are being used here in terms of, I don't know, SOB and MF and some other letters here on a family show. We'll let them take it from here when they were asked about the mentality it takes to be a D lineman.
I want us to be known as a very physical defensive line. Stop the run. A mindset just like we the baddest mofos walking. Point blank, period. And nobody out-physicals us.
You got to be a mean SOB. That's what it is. You know, it's just a man's game. Like, you know, we're on that field. You got to understand, it's people out there with kids and, you know, wives and moms they're taking care of and family, all type of stuff. So when we on that field, like, either I eat or you eat. And I'm not going hungry today.
So again,
I love that.
How essential is that mentality playing that position?
I think it's very essential. I mean, you know, we're all held accountable on and off the field. We have our wives and children that we love. We have to be gentlemen off the field and all that good stuff. But when you walk on the grass, man, it's a man's game. I heard someone say one day, football is a child's game. It's not a child's game. It's never been a child's game. It's a man's game. And you have to be a big physical you-know-what. You know, to play that position.
You know, once again, too, it just, as a former fullback, it makes me want to get in the offset eye and wham block. So, you know what I mean? Just wham!
Absolutely.
Anyways, no, it was one of the greatest things about it. It's the best thing about the game of football is you can actually get your knuckles bloody and nobody cares and you can scream at the top of your lungs as well. I see these two guys as guys that are run stoppers. What about them as pass rushers as well?
You know, I mean, one of the reasons why we have those guys is, you know, Justin can rush the passer. I think Bilal's shown some plays and stuff where he can rush the passer. I know we're kind of all over the place defensively up front, 3-4, 4-3, mm-hmm. whatever. Those guys fit the bill of a guy that can be multiple, that can do a number of things, that can stop the run and put internal pressure on the quarterback. So those two guys are going to be really good for us.
You know, one of our favorite moments last year was third and obvious passing situations. In the defensive front, it looked like a bunch of guys just sort of walking around and what's going on, and nobody even has a hand in the dirt. I mean, there were some creative schemes that Nick Rawlins dialed up last year, weren't there?
Yeah, Nick's creative, man. He's young. He's sharp. I mean, he's innovative. He challenges us to think outside the box, which is great, man. And I'm excited about doing things differently. You know, you can get caught into, I've always done things this way and that way, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we've been able to be creative in a lot of things that we do week to week.
One of the things I love, Coach, is you guys go solid up front a lot. A bear defense is what we actually called it. The Chicago Bears.
That's right.
The eight-man front, the 46 defense, right? Right. That, I played against that defense. You guys go solid a lot where you cover the center and you cover both guards. Is that what you call it, first of all, solid?
Yeah, we have solid fronts. We have, you know, when we're six up, we have bear where we're the 0-3s.
Okay.
Which you consider the bear front.
And, yes.
You know, that kind of stuff. What I like about those fronts is that it's one-on-one. Yes. It's man-on-man.
I love that.
Like, it's just, you know, the stuff we enjoy to do, right? The ability to be physical up front and hey, it's you against me, you know?
I love that, man. Right. This is a mentality. It's an attitude. It's part of the culture of this team, isn't
sure.
it?
Sure, it absolutely is.
Cardinals D-line coach Derek LeBlanc is our guest here on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. So more than two decades coaching at the college level. A lot of SEC stops, some big-time college programs. What translates in a college D-lineman to the NFL, especially being draft season? We're 3 weeks away, effective tonight. What do you look for in a college D-lineman that you know will translate to the NFL game?
Yeah, well, I think you always look for the measurables, right? Height, weight, arm length, all that good stuff. But I think a D lineman has to have a toughness about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of good looking pretty ones out there that don't like sticking their face in it. You know, and it's hard to say that these days with all the head protocols and all that, but like a guy that's willing to bite and put his face in it and be physical, that's number one. You can't play the position if you're not tough and physical, you know. But going into this draft, man, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for guys like those guys just described themselves as. The mentality of being physical and being a bad SOB or whatever else they use. But that's the mentality. Without saying those words, that's the mentality mm-hmm. that we're looking for.
So, Bilal Nichols, of course. I love him. Justin Jones as well. I thought those were two very underrated signings in the offseason for the Arizona Cardinals. Two guys that are going to come in and help you guys be a lot more stout against the run. Another guy is L.J. Collier that, to me, is very – he's got a lot of upside to him, I think, just watching him. He hasn't been able to stay on the field. He's had some issues with that. What are your thoughts on L.J. Collier and where you see him fitting in?
Well, you know, I tried to get real personal with L.J. coming in, and even now, even after the injury and before we left for the offseason, he's the one guy in the room that's got the skill set to do it all.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to put that on the field, right? So, I mean, the guy's very talented, very athletic. I got to do a good job as a coach to help get that done physically, you know. And a lot of D-line play is mental, too. Like, you know, those guys, they put pressure on themselves. And sometimes you have a little bit of paralysis by overthinking, right? So we can just get him to just buy into what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And take the coaching and just go out there and let it loose. I think you're going to see a good football player with us.
Do you coach hard? Do you?
You know what?
Are you a hard coach? Would you say?
I'm a demanding coach, and I'm a demanding coach. I'm demanding, but not demeaning.
Yes,
it's kind of always been my approach. I'm like we talked about earlier. I'm from South Louisiana, so we're kind of laid back. We have a good time, right? Am I get on you and mow for you all day kind of coach? No, definitely not. But there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, do that again. Come back and do it again. There's nothing wrong with that. So we're dealing with adults here. So my approach has always been to be demanding and get what's right without being demeaning and discouraging.
Derek LeBlanc is our guest. You hail from Brobridge, Louisiana, somewhere between Lafayette and Baton Rouge, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I like to say those towns are closer to us.
Right?
You know what I mean? Closer to Brobridge.
If I'm seeing this right here, our Jim Omohundro doing some great research, the crawfish capital of the world? So, Coach, how do you like your crawfish?
Hot and spicy. It's hot and spicy, man.
That is me right now. First of all, Cajun food is my absolute favorite. Do you call it Cajun yourself?
You know what? I never heard it called Cajun food in our area.
See, this
it's
is
always like Cajun food. Everywhere else, right?
So what do you call it? Just what we
it's
eat
It's just
here.
Dinner. Where we are. Now, it could be breakfast, too. You know what I mean? So,
do you ever have the D-line over for sort of a position dinner, you know, and you cook up, get the big vats of crawfish going, and how much crawfish would you have to cook for a D-line dinner?
You know, it's not for everybody, man. You know, a lot of guys try it at first. Can I say cold beer on this station?
Like,
you know,
sure.
There's a lot of cold beer that comes with crawfish, man. So, you know, having these guys who are adults now, different from college ball, but haven't had them over to the house yet, but would love to, especially with this new group that's going second year in. But if we can get some crawfish and some cold beer, man, I think we'd be all right.
Okay, but I have to ask you this. Gumbo or jambalaya? Or etouffee?
You know, if you're lucky, you probably can get them all in one sitting.
That's the party you're at.
That's
right
the party
there.
I'm at right
that's
now.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
So Jake Delhomme hails from Brobridge, Louisiana. He was never the same after the Cardinals picked him off five times in that 2008 playoff game. Branford Marsalis. Wow, jazz musician?
Jazz musician, yeah.
Man, that is big time right there. Right. Former leader of the Tonight Show band. And then you have a whole bunch of stops, including early in your career, Henderson State, the alma mater of Roy Green, the all-time great receiver.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Frontenac.
That is an amazing connection right there. So, Coach, we enjoyed it. I know you're looking forward to the rest of this offseason and getting some draft picks in here, aren't you?
Yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to moving on to the next season and improving this team and getting some W's under our belt, man. I'm excited about it.
Thank you for your time, Coach. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
And you know what? Your work with Dante Stills made Wolf proud because he's a proud West Virginia Mountaineer.
Oh, is that right?
Don't get me started. It's West Virginia. Yeah. It's West Virginia. Okay.
So there you go. Okay, we'll see. We'll see if you're going to get a guy in the first round, maybe atop the second. We'll see what's coming. The Cardinals have 11 picks in this draft. And maybe some more rookie additions to the Cardinals' D-line room. We'll continue with the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Lobs it near side and adjusting to make the catch is Dortch. Caught at the 40 by Dortch. Turns right, stiff arming 45 and pass midfield still going. It's a gain of 31, spinning away from a defender. Breaks a tackle near side 40, 35, 30. Cuts it back to the right at the 25 and tackled at the 21. What a great return by Greg Dortch.
Greg Dortch got whacked and kept running. What a huge play by Greg Dortch.
And a diving catch is made by Dortch. First down, great catch.
Oh my goodness, that is full extension by Greg Dortch right there on the out route. Great catch.
Caught again, Dortch. Broken tackle, 30, right side, 20. Cuts back to the left of the 10. Another broken tackle.
Breaks the tackle, breaks another tackle, and then another tackle.
25-20, angles outside the numbers of the 10. Five dives into the end zone. Touchdown, Greg Dortch.
Greg Dortch is on fire.
You just got Dortched.
That was from Chicago, that last one right there. So Ron Wolfley, let's zoom out on the career of Greg Dortch. First 3 years in the NFL, five different teams, cut six different times. Played a total of seven games his first 3 years. Last 2 years with the Arizona Cardinals, 2022-23, 32 games, eight starts, over 1,800 all-purpose yards. And over the last 2 years, just receiving, he's had 76 grabs for nearly 800 yards and four touchdowns. So once again, when you exist on the edge of a roster, you play with an edge. And that is Greg Dortch.
Yeah.
And that brings us back here to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley. Special thanks again to Derek LeBlanc, the Cardinals D-line coach. I loved your question, do you coach hard? And I loved his answer, demanding.
Yes.
I'm not demeaning.
Yes.
And Greg Dortch is one of those guys, one of those type of players who responds well to that. And now he's got a pretty prominent role as it stands in the Cardinals receiver room.
Football player. That's what I think of, Paulie, when I think of Greg Dortch.
Yep.
I think of a football player, not just a guy that is going to be a wide receiver, not just a guy who's going to line up as a number three receiver in the slot, not just a punt returner. I think of him first and foremost as a football player through and through. The guy's got a heart of a dog. He has got a heart of a dog. Like if he was playing along the line of scrimmage somewhere, offensive lineman, defensive lineman, maybe even a fullback. A full-fledged dog, and yet he happens to have some skills and some abilities right now. I love this signing by Monty Ossenfort and the Arizona Cardinals because, once again, this is a guy you're going to win with. He's not going to go out maybe and win you games, but you're not going to get beat with Greg Dortch.
He's been on this show. He's looked us both in the eye and said, put me in a phone booth, I'll make you miss. He has supreme confidence.
He does.
In his game, his skills.
And he plays that way, too. You can see it.
He's just been waiting for his chance, his opportunity. And guess what? Monty Ossenfort gave it to him along with Jonathan Gannon. And Greg Dortch, he took advantage of it. Here's the GM.
Greg's made a lot of plays before I got here. Greg made a lot of plays when he got his opportunity. So Greg's a guy who's always ready to take advantage of whatever opportunity he gets. And when he's taking advantage of those opportunities, he earns more opportunities. So, you know, Greg does a great job for us. Greg's tough. He's physical after the catch for a smaller guy. He took a step as a punt returner last year. So, you know, Greg made a lot of plays for us, and he's going to make a lot of plays for us next year.
And essentially, he beat out Rondale Moore. Rondale Moore traded to Atlanta. And now guess what? Greg Dortch, based on his Instagram account, is taking over the number four from Rondale after he was traded for Desmond Ridder.
That's really interesting right there to see that. The number of the world, Paulie, but don't get me sidetracked on that. Once again, I love him, especially as a punt returner, and it's so important you have a guy with a dog mentality. You have a guy that you can put back there as a punt returner who is not afraid above all else. That is the number one thing that you've got to have from your punt returner, fearlessness.
And he's 5'7", maybe 175. I can't tell you how many times on the sideline you see him get hit. He gets launched into the air.
I mean,
he's like a projectile. He's a pinball.
He'll get up and do it again, Paul.
And he does every time.
Get up and do it again.
So now contrast that with big Michael Wilson, who's about as physical as they come, especially for a rookie last year, right? And Kyler Murray, will get into Michael Wilson because he's going to have a prominent role this year, just like he ended last year. Here's his quarterback on what the rookie third rounder out of Stanford showed, Kyler Murray.
I told you all from day one, you know, I watched his Senior Bowl highlight tape, whatever it was, you know, a couple of clips from just on Twitter. And I was like, yeah, that kid knows, you know, he knows what he's doing. I could tell. Now we'll get a full offseason under our belt. I think next year, you know, Mike will have a big year.
And we saw it week four. We saw it at the 49ers when he had that big game. And the best part about it to me was that he used his size to his advantage. Like Derek LeBlanc said earlier on the show, there are big guys don't necessarily play that way. But Michael Wilson made a lot of contested catches last year.
Yeah.
And Wolf, you know better than anyone, you better make those contested catches because that's 90% of life in the NFL as a receiver.
It truly is, Paulie, especially when you have the size that he has. I mean, you're talking about a big wide receiver out there once again. And, you know, when you're big like that, rarely are you going to make guys miss. And when I say that, I'm talking about you running your route against coverage and guys just guess wrong or their technique is bad, whatever it may be. You're going to actually be covered when you're the size of a Michael Wilson, but that's okay. Larry Fitzgerald did it for his entire career for the most part. Fitz was a big, strong receiver who made a lot of contested catches. The thing that separated him from everybody else were just how good his hands truly were.
No doubt. And he played his best in the biggest moments.
Yes.
And we saw some of that from Michael Wilson last year. Philadelphia, he had the big game-tying touchdown catch in Philadelphia. That was after he took the blame, the responsibility for the pick six, the 99-yard interception return, where apparently it was a mental mistake on his behalf. As a rookie, in fact, he was way beyond even culpable and accountable for that. Here's Michael Wilson last year talking about just how he views playing with a two-time Pro Bowler in Kyler Murray.
I feel extremely responsible to play at a high level for him because I'm playing for his legacy, right? Being a Heisman Trophy winner, being a number one pick, being a franchise quarterback, we signed a big contract. He's got a lot of responsibility, and I want to make sure I'm playing at a high level to play a positive role in his story.
So now you look at the wide receiver room as currently constructed. And I know, Wolf, you're daydreaming. You're smiling. You're thinking of Greg Dortch, Michael Wilson added alongside, Marvin Harrison Jr.,
yes,
aren't you?
I am. I'm thinking of it right now, Paulie. And by the way, can I also say this? I think I would be okay. I am in the danger zone when it comes to Marvin Harrison Jr. I do covet him. I do want him. He is my precious, so to speak. But having said that, Paul, Roma Dunze is also a guy that, man, he reminds me so much of Larry Fitzgerald. He does. And I know this has been a comp that has been out there for Roma Dunze, but he's a football player. Just like Larry was a football player, he is a football player through and through. And, man, I think there's a real possibility, and I know, Paul, this has been your belief for a long time now. The Cardinals are going to get that opportunity to move down in. If they move down, I do not believe that Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be there when they draft, wherever that may be. Even if it's number six, I don't know if he's going to be there. I don't know if he's going to fly by the Chargers.
I don't think so.
At number five. So to me, once again, I think I'd be okay with Roma Dunze in a big way. Malik Nabers, honestly, just haven't seen enough of him.
I'm probably in the same camp. And I don't think you're going to get any of those guys unless you trade with the Giants at number six. Otherwise, those guys are all going to be long gone, I think. But we'll see. Here's the other thing I throw out there. Number one, do you think this decision group, meaning the GM and the head coach, value receiver, the position itself, as high as number four? Because here's a quick list.
I don't know if the coaching staff does as much as I do believe Monty Ossenfort might. That's just a guess.
In the last decade, here's the list of wide receivers taken in the top seven picks.
Okay.
Sammy Watkins, Mike Evans,
yeah.
Amari Cooper, Kevin White, Corey Davis, Mike Williams, often injured, Jamar Chase, that's a ding, Jalen Waddle went six overall. So, look, are these guys a once-in-a-decade group of receivers taken together?
Yeah.
Maybe. But once again, it's all about the quarterback. It's all about protecting that quarterback. And for a team that values both so much and had a top five run game last year, when you're in such dire need of an edge, a corner, you know, I just wonder where receiver falls into the mix.
For me right now, Paulie, if you're talking about what's the most important position on this team, it's a wide receiver. It is a wide receiver, and the reason why I say that is because you've got a franchise quarterback that needs options. He needs a true wide receiver one to throw the ball to. It's got to be a wide receiver. If you're really looking at Kyler Murray and saying, and I believe this is just me, this is my own thought right here. This is the way I see Kyler Murray. I still believe Kyler Murray's entering a prove it year. I still believe it's going to be a situation where they're going to give him every resource he's going to need to go out and do it. But Kyler has got to go out and prove over the course of this year, of course, that everything we saw in the last four games in particular from last year is going to apply. It's going to carry over this year and then even grow even more. Well, you know what? To be fair to Kyler Murray, he needs options as well. You want to help Kyler Murray? You want to help protect Kyler Murray and give him every opportunity to show you he is all that in a bag of chips? You need to give him options. You need to protect him up front, and you need to give him options in which he can get the ball out quickly. Because guess what that does? That protects him as well, getting the ball out quickly, because you've got wide receivers who are winning their routes. It's important.
You want a mind blow? There are a number of mock drafts out there who project and predict that Monty Ossenfort will do exactly what he did last year, this year. We'll trade out with Minnesota, take 11-23.
Okay.
Then take 11-27, which the Cardinals currently own, and go back up to 5 and get Marvin Harrison Jr. And then at 23, because they've upped that second-round first-round pick from 27 to 23, they get the edge. Either Jared Verse, Chop Robinson.
Sold. I love that ball. Well, I don't know where you saw that from, Bullock, but I'm all on board with that.
And then at top round two, you take the corner, because there are a half dozen corners who are considered starters. So, very interesting. We'll come back. We'll talk more about this draft. We'll hear from Jonathan Gannon as we continue with a Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
Jake the Snake Plumber.
The buzz was that we had a hometown kid that was a playmaker.
Touchdown, Sun Devils! Woo! The Snake does it again!
For them to be able to get Jake was absolutely a miracle.
He was an immediate icon for our squad.
We felt like we needed a spark, and that's what Jake could do. He could give you a spark.
He scores! Jake Plummer!
Cocky, but cocky with confidence. He knew his abilities and what he could do.
That was an incredible pass by Jake Plummer.
He basically would say what he was going to do, and he went out and did it.
Jake the Snake, from Arizona State to the Arizona Cardinals.
This is Jake the Snake. This is our guy. We already have the jerseys.
Plummer's on the 10. Plummer throws in the end zone to a wide open Larry Centers. He's got it. He scores.
And I remember him being vocal in the press, like, draft this kid. He should be a Cardinal. So that made me feel good, because my whole dream from being a child was to play in the NFL.
Did as much as I could to try to lobby for him to become a part of our team, and it worked out for us. And, you know, the rest is history.
Former teammate Larry Centers right there. Cardinals, folktales, drafting Jake. That was circa 1997 when that happened, round two. Recently, we did a documentary on it. You can find it wherever you get your favorite podcast, right? And It's good stuff. A lot of guys talking about Jake the Snake. And I'm old enough, Ron Wolfley, to have covered his Arizona State team, was at the Rose Bowl, was there when he got drafted 2 years after that, 1998, the playoff win at Dallas. So those were some exciting years, and you were right there as well.
There's no doubt about it, man. Jake the Snake. Is there ever been a quarterback more aptly named? No.
And you know what? Here's a true quick story. 2019 draft, him on stage at the draft party, which is happening again this year. And I'm talking about the prospects of drafting Kyler Murray, number one overall, okay? And I'm calling him the future of football. Jake grabbed the microphone from me. He was on stage along with Frank Sanders and yours truly. He said, "What do you mean? I was the future of football. I used to run around. That's why they called me the Snake."
That's right. No, I know that, Paul. And so, he was. He was slippery.
Yes. So that's great stuff. All right. Now, speaking of quarterback, do you find it interesting, Ron Wolfley, that at, for example, the Drake May Pro Day, you got big contingents from the Minnesota Vikings, the Denver Broncos, the New York Giants, at the Michael Penix Pro Day, the Giants went all the way to Seattle, the head coach, the GM, the OC. These are teams outside the top five, Ron Wolfley.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it, Paulie. But once again, these are teams that we all expect to move up at some point in time. I think it's a real possibility based on what the Arizona Cardinals are going to do at number four that we have four consecutive quarterbacks go at the top of this draft. I totally could see that. And here's the thing I'm hoping for the most, that Jaden Daniels is the fourth. And the reason why I'm saying, could he possibly be the fourth? He reminds me so much of Randall Cunningham.
Wow.
He is long, and he is whippy, and he's a really good athlete and a really good runner of the football as well. And yet he can throw the ball. Jaden Daniels is kind of that bright, shiny object that I think if you were going to move up to number four because you fell in love with Jaden Daniels because a team was out there and believed he really would have been the second quarterback on their board. They would have gone up and tried to get him at number two if they could, but there he is at number four. Man, that could bring the Arizona Cardinals a heap on draft day.
Yeah, he also had a great offensive line at LSU and two first-round receivers, Jaden Daniels. But yeah, he's going in the top four. You got to figure. In fact, you talk about the Broncos, and Sean Payton at the NFL owners meetings was asked about, okay, is it realistic to move up? And he said, yes, absolutely. And that's when it came up, the whole it's good to be Monty comment. In fact, Jonathan Gannon was asked about that.
And it is good to be Monty right now. He's in season, so I leave him alone a little bit. And this is like his baby, so I just say, hey, you just do your thing, man. You just do your thing. We feel good about it. And obviously we talk, you know, every day, but I'm excited about where we're at and what we need to add and the plan to do that.
And the Cardinals All Access video from last year in the War Room is making the rounds again. It has over 2 million views. Monty Asomfort let Monty cook, and the way he had multiple teams on the line, as Michael Bidwill said after that draft, it's like he had spinning plates going, right? All these teams.
JG was all jacked up.
I think the same thing's going to happen this year. He's going to have multiple teams until the Cardinals are on the clock, and then somebody's going to make their final best offer, and then boom, he's going to pull the trigger.
And Paulie, that is what I expect as well, a huge draft day trade. And again, I'm thinking, you know what, you'd love to actually be able to play it that way if you're the Cardinals. I'm sure whatever team wants to move up to number four wouldn't like to bring it down to a draft day trade because of just how much they'd have to give up in order to move up. They probably want to establish the fact that we're going to get one of these guys. We're going to get one of these quarterbacks. Maybe, though, it's like I said, maybe it's a preference that a team might have on one of those three quarterbacks that are going to go after Caleb Williams. Maybe they're falling in love with Drake May. And maybe all of a sudden on draft day, they're going to wait and see. And if Drake May is actually there, if he falls to number four, maybe they're like, we have to do this now, right? I mean, there's all beauty is in the eye of the beholder, Paul.
You know the team in that scenario? There's been a lot talked about Brian Daboll. And who did he have in Buffalo as the OC? Josh Allen. Big old Drake May. Might not be as accurate as some of the other guys,
right?
Just like Josh Allen.
Just like Josh Allen.
And he got better that he sees the next Josh Allen and Drake May. And then there's Minnesota, whose quarterback coach is former Cardinals quarterback Josh McCown, who coached Drake May in high school. So there's all these connections, right? And there's all this subterfuge. Who's going to go where? And my sleeper on all this would be the Las Vegas Raiders. Do you realize since Antonio Pierce took over that team, week 9, they had the number one scoring defense in the NFL the second half of the season, and they added Christian Wilkins.
Wow.
They need a quarterback, and I think they're willing to pay for a quarterback because the Raiders view that as the final piece to really getting back to relevance in that brand new stadium. We'll see. And you know what? You're going to want to be there. Learn more about Arizona Cardinals season tickets, premium seating group tickets, and the all-new luxury field seating experiences today. Go to azcardinals.com/tickets, azcardinals.com/tickets. Special thanks, Cardinals D-line coach Derek LeBlanc, for joining us. We didn't even get around to the combine. I mean, he was the star of the combine.
Right.
He got a lot of airtime. Executive producer Jim Omohunter, associate producer Cody Fincher, technical director Matt Lazarus, Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. This has been the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Chaw!
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Right on the price. Right on the corner of the Santan 202 Freeway in Val Vista. The Rage is brought to you by SeatGeek, your ticket to great seats. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.